Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, your host for the program, blessed and happy to be here with you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, I was assuming, or at least I was hoping, that by the time we were doing this post-election program, we would know who our next president would be, and we could talk about that and its implications for our country and the pro-life movement. But as you well know, we are having to wait on final counts and recounts and anything else that might come up before we know who will be at the helm leading our nation. Well, we should try our very best not to let the uncertainty and the stress that comes with such a situation as we have right now get the best of us. Padre Pio's famous maxim, pray, hope, and don't worry, is very fitting for us to embrace, even if it is a hard thing to do. Padre Pio also gave some very good advice in a letter to a priest friend when he told the man to be at peace in all things. The saint told the clergyman that Satan always likes to fish in troubled waters so that he can take advantage of our discouragement and reel us in so that he can gain the upper hand and thus achieve his intentions more readily. So we need to make sure that those waters upon which the tiny little bark of our soul is sailing are placid and unperturbed, even when the stormy winds of trial blow in. And we can do this by immersing ourselves in prayer and not the daily news, particularly by spending time in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, praying the rosary, and frequenting the sacraments. This will give us the tranquility and grace we need to live in peace and even to be light in this dark, cold world in order to draw others to our Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, in a few short minutes here, I'm going to get Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish in Edinburgh on the phone with me to discuss not only the election, but also to talk about how this fall's 2020 40 Days for Life campaign went. That campaign ended on Sunday, November 1st, and hundreds of babies were saved from abortion as the result of people coming out to pray in front of abortion centers throughout our country and the world. Good things always go on when 40 Days for Life campaigns are held, and Deacon Russ is going to tell us all about that. But first things first, let's begin in prayer. Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit upon our nation. We pray for the conversion of our country, of our leaders, and of our people. We desire a just nation, a moral nation, a land in which all life, from conception until natural death, is held sacred, where traditional marriages and families are foundational, a country where people of faith may worship you freely. Lord, allow repentance to come to each and every one of us, that we may be examples of your light and peace. Through our faith and persevering trust in your mercy, Lord, may we return our nation to your grace. We petition you through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of our nation. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Now, normally at this time, we'd like to go to this week's In the News segment, but since we're going to be discussing a lot of these newsy things with Deacon Russ, we'll just bring him on right now and have at it. So, Deacon Russ Woodard, welcome back to Pro-Life to the Max, and thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Well, thank you, Monica, for having me.
Yeah, well, you've become a pretty regular guest on the program, which I'm very grateful for. And, well, we've got a lot to talk about concerning the big election. But before we head down that path, why don't you give us some good news and just tell us about some of the amazing results that were seen during this fall's 40 Days for Life campaign.
Yes, and we do have a lot to celebrate. We don't know of any direct saves at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, although we had one that was a hopeful, so that's always good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was the largest 40 Days for Life campaign ever. It continues to grow. There were 588 locations throughout the United States and throughout the world. You know, thinking that this all started in College Station, Texas back in 2004, just as a one-time thing, so they thought. And now it's expanded. There's been over 1 million volunteers that have joined 40 Days for Life.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. 1 million.
1 million. Wow. And 40 Days for Life campaigns have now been held in 1,004 cities and towns throughout 63 countries.
Wow.
We know of at least 17,232 babies that have been saved from abortion since 2004. Mm-hmm. We know that 206 abortion workers have quit after a 40 Days for Life campaign was held at their facility. We know of 107 abortion centers that have closed in that amount of time.
That's an awful lot of good news.
That's exactly right. We know that the numbers of abortions in Bloomington are down from what they were last year, whether that it has to have something to do with all the prayers that we are offering to God and the sacrifices.
So I would most certainly think so, yes.
We hope that continues, and, you know, one day that clinic is going to close. I know it.
It is. It is.
Don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be in God's time, but we're very thankful that things seem to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and you know,
look, this morning we had 48 new volunteers who signed up for our campaign in Bloomington, and they took a total of 138 1-hour shifts during the campaign. So that's just incredible. That is
good.
Yeah, I had no idea. You know, we get a little email when someone signs up, and it always tells us we don't know, you know, if they signed up for a shift or not.
Uh-huh.
But at least they signed up. So I was very pleased to hear all that.
That is.
40 Days for Life is totaling the final count. Last spring, we had at least an average of one saved per location. I mean, we didn't necessarily have one at every location, but we had as many as there were locations, and mm-hmm. we're approaching that. We have 564 saves that we know of mm-hmm. at the 588 locations, so I fully expect those saves to go up yet. They're going to have a webcast on November 17th in the evening, probably at 9 o'clock Eastern time, and I'm sure we're going to hear that there were over 588 saves, so I'm looking forward to hearing that. And we might also hear that some more abortion workers have quit, and God willing, maybe we'll hear that an abortion center is closed, or a couple of them.
Yes, yeah. And you know what? Those prayers are going to extend, the fruit of them are going to extend outside of the campaign as well, too, right? And I'm thinking just yesterday, Thursday, at Planned Parenthood, we saw a mother leave the abortion center. She left in tears. She was crying. When she went in, she initially, you could tell, she was not sure about this. So when I watched all of that, I thought of, again, of the prayers from this past fall's campaign and how it's still bearing fruit.
That's right. Yep. Prayers and sacrifices will never be unused. God will find a way to make them efficacious.
That's right. And I know, Deacon Russ, we've talked about, too, how we may not necessarily see right in our own backyard the fruit of it, a baby saved, but God may be taking our prayers, using those for someone else clear on the other side of the world. And, you know, because he knows where those graces need to be plugged in and what soul is ready. So we can be joyful and confident that he is using them, even if it be for somewhere else, right?
That's exactly right. God is not within time or space, so he can use our prayers wherever and whenever he chooses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I want to quickly bring up that the men's overnight prayer vigil, too, that we've been doing the past many campaigns. And I think that that is really bearing a lot of fruit, because that's a big sacrifice for some of these men to get up in the middle of the night and go without sleep and be out there a lot of times in the cold, freezing, wet weather, too. That's bringing a lot of graces as well, too, don't you think?
I do. And let's keep in mind, it's not all men either, so we mm-hmm. have some women.
Okay, yes.
Yes, certainly. Yes, it would be wonderful if we could do a 24-hour vigil at this point. I don't think we can do that safely in Bloomington, but maybe one day. But we certainly appreciate those men and women who come out and spend Thursday night to Friday morning overnight there praying, and it's certainly efficacious.
Yeah, and that's an important overnight vigil. It's planned for Thursday through Friday because abortions are typically done on the Thursdays. So now I know 40daysforlife.com has a lot of great information in the form of podcasts and videos and blog posts. So that's a good place to go for further information, isn't it?
It is. They have a weekly podcast. They've been doing a video blog a couple times a week, so you can look at that. All the news that's happening, and of course, they'll have their webcast on November 17th. So if people don't already get an email from 40 Days for Life, you can sign up to receive those emails and get hooked into that free webcast they'll be having here in a couple weeks.
So irregardless of what happens with the election and everything, how important is it for people to stay or to get involved in 40 Days for Life?
Oh, it's all the more important. And in fact, even when we aren't doing the 40 Days for Life campaign, we'd love to see people out there praying on the sidewalk. We had people out there yesterday pretty much all day praying, and that always helps, especially the Sidewalk Advocates for Life who are there reaching out to the women. It always is beneficial to have that prayer partner or prayer partners there praying. And just as we saw yesterday, there's a young woman that left. She did not have an abortion yesterday, so we can continue to pray that she chooses life and that she gets the help that she needs to help her feel better about this pregnancy.
Yeah, great, wonderful. Okay, so let's go ahead and turn to the election. So, and we still, unfortunately, don't have a whole lot of clarity at this point, and things are sometimes changing daily, if not by the hour. And, of course, we have the uncertainty of who will be our next president. Right now, it appears Joe Biden has the edge and will take that position. But you know, the Trump campaign is fighting hard to make sure that everything has been done licitly in the election process. So we thought even Thursday morning that the Republican majority would hold in the U.S. Senate, but apparently now even that idea is coming into question because we've got a race in Georgia that is headed for a runoff in January, as well as a second race in Georgia, and then there's one in North Carolina and another one in Alaska, which all remain, as of this moment, undecided. So that leaves the Senate chamber deadlocked with 48 Republicans and 48 Democrats, and if the Democrats should take the Senate and Joe Biden become the next president, we're going to see some campaign promises being kept with, I'm thinking of the repeal of the Hyde Amendment, which would force taxpayer money to pay for abortions directly. We'll see Roe v. Wade codified and allowances made for the killing of the unborn up to the moment of birth for any reason whatsoever. We'll also likely see Democrat leaders pack the U.S. Supreme Court with pro-abortion activist judges. So without a Republican Senate, we'll see no checks on legislation that promotes abortion and gay marriage, transgenderism, and a host of other societal ills that will ultimately put into question the protection of our religious freedoms and even the very bedrock of our society. So this is a very heavy situation to be dealing with right now, and obviously we should be in fervent prayer. So we prayed and fasted a lot before and during the election, but we're not off the hook yet, are we, Deacon Russ?
No, and one thing I was thinking of, we have to remember who the enemy is, and our enemy is Satan and his minions. And so we have to continue to pray and fast, as Jesus told us, that sometimes demons can only be driven out by prayer and fasting.
Yeah, and I know we can grow weary, can't we, right? We've had all of these novenas, rosary novenas, and in preparation for the election, and we're praying and we're fasting, and so we can become weary, right? But I just want to encourage all of our listeners to not give up. Take a little breather and let's buckle down and just pray fervently, continue to pray fervently for our the leaders of our country, that light will be given, that everything that is hidden will be revealed, and that just God's most perfect and holy will be done. So And real quick here, I want to add in that in the U.S. House, though, we saw some good pickups of Republican seats with 13 pro-life women coming in to replace pro-abortion House members. So there's some hope there, too. It wasn't all, you know, a loss during this election. In fact, we saw a lot of positives.
Yeah, I heard that, the pro-life women coming in on the Republican side, and that's just tremendous news. When I think about all this and all the uncertainty, I think of one of my favorite quotes from St. Julian of Norwich. Jesus is quoted as saying, "It behoved that there should be sin, but all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." So we have to remember in the divine mercy, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. No matter what happens, we have to remember that God is there and he's merciful no matter what happens.
That's right. He's still on the throne and he is in control. He's not unaware of any of this, is he?
No, he is not.
Yeah, and what comforting, you know, thoughts and a message right there. And we just need to cling to that because he is in control. And so let's talk about that pro-life measure. I think it was Proposition 115. It was on the ballot in Colorado, and it would have banned abortion after 22 weeks, basically after viability. There was even an exception made in that bill for when the physical life of the mother was in danger. And and within the bill itself, it said any doctor who committed or attempted to commit an abortion after 22 weeks would be charged with a misdemeanor and face fine. So this measure wasn't some hard-nosed, crazy bill, okay? But still, we saw nearly 60% of Colorado voters oppose it. So do you have any thoughts on this, you know, this situation?
I was listening to an interview yesterday. It was interesting that the abortion lobby threw in $9 million in the last weeks to buy TV and radio ads to encourage people to vote no.
Wow.
And I'm certain that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
I was looking at the webpage for the Vote No campaign. It really saddened me to see 120 so-called faith leaders that had added to their name to the No movement. Whether these truly faith leaders, I don't know. Some were really discouraging. But it's interesting that Colorado is only one of seven states that don't have any restrictions on abortion right now. Alaska, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. are the other that do not have any restrictions. But most states have some sort of restriction at 22 weeks or viability.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the No campaign saw this as just more restrictions on any kind of abortion, and that's kind of the way they put it out there, that, you know, we're going to be defeated. They don't tell you that only a very small percentage, maybe 3% in Colorado, of the abortions take place after 22 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of the women that are getting abortions are having them well before 22 weeks. But they just wanted to cause fear among people that, hey, they're taking our right to have an abortion away.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. They wanted to create this idea that this would unravel Roe v. Wade.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I found it interesting. Unfortunately, the wording to the proposition was not all that friendly. It looked like it was 158 words total, which I understand they had to put a lot in there, and they were trying to appease, you know, people, you know, would the woman be charged with any crime? No,
mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you compare that to what Louisiana just passed, an amendment, theirs was only 28 words.
Oh,
so
wow.
28 158 words. There was a big difference between the two measures.
Uh-huh. Now, it's interesting, too. I don't know if you know this, but Colorado was the first state to decriminalize abortion. And that was back on April 25th in 1967. And they did that for just cases of rape and incest, or for the case of permanent mental or physical disability of either the mother or the child. So in Colorado, they have, ever since then, they've just continued to expand those abortion rights without any limitations whatsoever. And I just think November 3rd, 2020 just marked yet another sad day for the state of Colorado and its citizens with the defeat of that proposition.
Yeah, Colorado, they have their challenges. I mean, they have marijuana use available in Colorado.
Yeah.
Certainly aren't like some of the rest of the country.
Right, not the most conservative state. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, so, and I want to quickly bring up, just so we can realize just how awful, and I would say barbaric, these late-term abortions, and by that we're talking about those that are after 22 weeks, although late-term abortions can be considered really anything after 13 weeks in the second and third trimester, but specifically with this bill, we were talking after 22 weeks. And, you know, there's only two ways that the abortionist can use to make sure that that baby is dead. And the first way is through that awful dismemberment abortion. And that's where an unborn baby's limbs are ripped from her body and her skull crushed. Okay, so it's just, and at this point, there can be no doubt there's intense pain felt. So we wouldn't even do this to an animal, right? So I don't know that even most of the citizens were aware of what procedures they even use. And the other one is what's called an induction abortion. When the doctor takes a long needle and injects digoxin into the heart of the baby, who is in utero, and then that causes the baby to go into cardiac arrest and labor's induced, and the mom delivers a dead baby. So these are really barbaric procedures, and I just wonder if they really got the word out about this so that they could really have informed voters. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a battle, and I don't think people realize what they are. I would encourage listeners, if they haven't already done so, to go to abortionprocedures.com, where they can see an actual former abortion doctor talk about some of these procedures and how they are really performed.
Because, yeah, Dr. Anthony Levitino, he is the one.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we have to continue the battle. As long as we're here on Earth, we have a battle to fight. We are the church militant, and we need to fight the battle against Satan.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw this tweet either, Deacon Russ, but after that Proposition 115 was defeated, a pro-abortion coalition, they put out this tweet. It says, "We've sent a clear message. It's time to stop politicizing abortion and leave health care to doctors." And, you know, when I read that, I just thought, wow, their definition of health care is the dismemberment of an unborn human baby, torn limb from limb by a sulfur clamp. So, and it reminded me of just the Nazis, how they thought their doctors were doing health care too. It just seems so eerily similar.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's very sad. And of course, you know, many of these women that come for late-term abortions don't know exactly their circumstances, but we certainly are willing and ready to help them in any way we can to save the life of that child, whether it be conceived through rape or incest or anything like that. There's no reason to punish the victim, punish the violent person, but not the victim.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's quickly go to a bit of good news now, like you just mentioned a couple moments ago in Louisiana. And the voters there in that state this past Tuesday passed an amendment to their state's constitution that affirms that nothing in their constitution protects the right to have an abortion or to fund it. And then Louisiana also has a trigger law that automatically bans all abortions should Roe v. Wade ever be overturned. So this amendment, what it does is to protect all of the state's current pro-life laws so they cannot be undermined by any judges. And I think they called it the Love Life Amendment. And interestingly enough, it was sponsored by a Democratic state senator, Katrina Jackson. And in this case, 65% of Louisiana voters supported this amendment. So that's some good news, isn't it?
Oh, that is awesome news. And I hope more states will take on a similar bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're getting close to the end of our time here. I don't know. What would you say? The name of the game right now is just to remain steadfast and constant, you know, in the midst of all the confusion and chaos and uncertainty that kind of envelops us. I mean, we know what the natural law is. We know what the church teaches. We know what is right and what is wrong. And we just need to remain in that truth and to be very courageous in proclaiming it to a world that really needs to hear it, even if we must suffer for doing so. So, again, I think steadfastness and constancy in the midst of the evil and suffering. You have any other further comments?
I agree with you 100%. We must continue on. We must pray. We must fast. We must work to bring about an end to abortion in our world.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I love to pray Psalm 51, you know, particularly when I'm going out there on the sidewalks. And the part that really I love to just meditate on and reflect and try to live out is, Lord, a pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor, sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways and sinners may return to you. And just such a beautiful psalm and words and an important prayer, especially during these times.
That's for sure. And the church gives us that for morning prayer every Friday morning. And as I prayed it this morning,
yes.
Another line that tripped me was, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Oh, yes, yeah. So no matter what ends up happening or whoever wins the election, our task remains the same. We must keep battling for the salvation of souls and being that beacon of light, pointing the way to truth to so many lost souls whose moral compass is terribly off. And I think we have to stay immersed in prayer and meditation, especially before the Blessed Sacrament, and keep up our prayer and fasting. And also, please, we beg everyone who is listening, get out there to the sidewalks at 421 South College Avenue and pray and be a public witness for life and purity. Christians must not be afraid to enter into combat and engage the culture. We have beauty and truth on our side, which is the only thing that can give a soul its peace and joy. So, Deacon Russ Woodard, thanks so much for being with us today. It's always good to hear from you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thanks, too, for all you do, not only in coordinating these 40 Days for Life campaigns here in Bloomington and all of your pro-life efforts, but for the many other works you do as well for the building up of God's kingdom here on earth. Well, all of what is currently going on, both within our country and world and even in the church, is meant for our greater sanctification and the glory of God. These are saint-maker times, and we don't want to waste a moment in not cooperating with the graces that are there for us. For where evil abounds, grace abounds all the more. Let's not be afraid to keep giving more and more of ourselves to help souls get to heaven. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.